everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Today's guest is of a different form, which I'm really excited about. His story is so inspirational. And, you know, just looking at the whole series, You Are Not the Only One. Well, my guest today is Dr. Jim Krempaski, and he takes this to a different level of You Are Not the Only One, because his story is so inspirational. And I am so thankful, Jim, that you are on this podcast today and you are going to share something that is absolutely just amazing. So, Jim, if you can please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and where you're from, that would be absolutely wonderful. So, everybody, here is Jim.
Well, thank you, Shannon, for having me on the podcast today. I greatly appreciate it. And I do hope that my story can inspire others, because we all have the ability in us to do anything. We really do. We just have to set our minds to it and be determined. So my story is, I grew up in Northeast Ohio in the United States, and I did several different jobs, a few things here and there. And I ended up coming to Southern Ohio, and I worked in information systems for probably close to 11 and a half years or so. But then somewhere along the line, I had an inspirational moment. From the time I was a child, I've always been interested in medicine. And my mother was my greatest inspiration. Mom always wanted to be a nurse, but she grew up in a very small, poor town and never really had the opportunity to do so. But she always had this passion for medicine. And she was always the one that would take care of the kids in the neighborhood when they got hurt or something. And my best friend down the street, his mother was a pediatric nurse at the local hospital. So growing up with that, I always had this sort of drive to help take care of others, to be compassionate towards others. And then around 2002, 2003, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, two different breast cancers on both sides, no family history, no previous issues with it. And it stirred something in me. It stirred a fire in me to really, really look further into medicine. I started doing a lot of reading up on breast cancer, going to the doctor's appointments with my mom, and just learning more and more. And then the more I discerned it, the more I decided that I really wanted to go further into medicine. I really wanted to be a doctor. And at that time, I was in my early 40s. Again, I had been in a career for a while, a career that I enjoyed, but quite honestly, never really had a passion for. So making the decision to go back into medicine was a big one. A lot of people, here I am in my early 40s, told me I was crazy. You know, I went to a local medical school and asked them what it took to be accepted into their medical college. And they said, classes of this, classes of that, classes of that. And I said, a quarter of each. They're like, no, a year of each. I thought, oh my gosh, can I do this? So I made up my mind. I had a very supportive wife. I had a few friends that were physicians that were great mentors. But again, a lot of people really didn't think that I could do it. My own mother, ironically, was very much against my decision to go into medicine. Now, later on, she became very supportive of me and very proud of me. But I decided that it was something that I need to do, and I became very determined to do it. I'm a spiritual person, and I do believe there's divine intervention in everything. But we've all been given that ability to really accomplish whatever we like in life if we just put our mind and thoughts to it. So I went back to school in the evenings while I was still working full time to take some of the pre-med sciences that I had needed. Because in information systems, I had one biology class throughout my whole undergrad and college. So I went back, I took chemistry, biology, organic chemistry, you know, physics and all the labs. And I remember, Shannon, I believe you speak of a still moment. I remember the first night that I was in class when I went to my first chemistry class. I was sitting there and I looked around and there were probably about 35 of us there. And everyone was about 19, 18, 20 years old. And here I was like 42, 43 years old. And I looked around and I thought, what am I doing here? You're crazy. What are you doing? And then I thought, no, this is, you're going to do this. You're going to hang in there. You're going to do this. You know, the chemistry teacher walked in and then everything was just going forward. Great. You know, I did well in all my classes, very good grades. And so I took all those science classes in the evenings. So really from the time I decided to go back to school in the evening until I graduated from medical school was 12 years. So I had to do a lot of catch-up classes. And then there, of course, you know, there was the entrance exams getting into medical school. And I was put on a waiting list because when I interviewed for medical school, it was the last interview of the season. There was one spot left and there were about 12 of us trying to get into that one spot. So I did my interviews. They went very well. But at the end of the interview, they said, you still haven't taken all of the upper level science classes that we'd like for you to have. Despite all those years of me going back, there was still more that I hadn't taken. So I was put on a waiting list. Again, the still moment, all summer long, you know, waiting for that letter to come in the mail. Every day I would go out to the post, out to the mailbox, nothing. Every 2 days I would call the office and her name was Betty. God bless her. She was a wonderful person. Betty, any news? Did anybody drop off that list? Have I moved? She's like, no, Jim. No, not yet. Not yet. So that went on all summer. Late in the summer, I got a call from the university. They said, we have an offer for you. If you come to our campus, to our undergrad campus, and take 1 year of upper level science classes, we will pay for it. And if you maintain, I think it was a 3.0 or 3.3 grade point average, we have a spot for you in next year's medical class. And at first I thought, no, I don't want to go. I just want to go to medical school. I don't want to do any more college. But then, you know, talking to my wife, talking to my older brother, you know, I said, Jim, you know, this is a pretty good deal they're offering you. And so I took it up on it. And I went there for a year, took the classes, did very well, and had a spot in medical school. Kind of leading again to a still moment that I had. The first time that I left home to go to medical school was 3 hours away. And I knew that I had to live there. I could only come home on the weekends. At the time, again, I had one son who was probably about two or three at the time. You know, he was old enough to know that I was there and then I wasn't, but not old enough to know that sense of time of how long dad would be gone. And so I did that. And I remember leaving that first day. And again, that moment thinking, are you sure this is what you want to do? You know, you are driving away from your family to be 3 hours away for the whole week and just come home for a day or two on the weekend. But again, I thought, I've come this far. This is what I have to do. You know, this is what I have to do. And so I did it. And then again, like I said before, I was given a seat in the medical school and enjoyed my time there. I worked very hard. And again, I had to be away from my family during the week there, you know, staying there. And I would sneak home during the week once in a while, maybe on a Tuesday night if we started late on Wednesday, you know, and leave the house like 5 o'clock in the morning and just get there before my 8 o'clock lecture class. And, It was good. But then residency. So I was stationed at a hospital that was about 2 hours away from my residency. So again, I was away from the family during the week. So I had 3 years of residency. But after the first year, I decided that I had been away too long. I had to be back with my family. So I started driving every day and it was about a 2 hour drive each way. So I was on the road about 4 hours every day. And on Friday, we would have didactics, which was a training where specialists would come in and teach the medical students and the residents that were stationed there And we started at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I had to get up at 4:30 and leave the house at 5 to be there at 7, you know, and that went on for 3 years. I came out of residency and I'm blessed now. I work for a health group that is 4 to 5 minute drive away. I love it, you know, but again, it was several real deep, dark moments, you know, and just that decision to keep plowing on, you know. I remember I read one time a quote from Winston Churchill. He said, "When you find yourself in hell, keep going forward." You know, and sometimes you just have to soldier on it and keep going forward. You know, so that's kind of my story. I mean, and where I'm at today, I've been practicing medicine out of residency for it'll be 7 years that I've been with the health group that I'm with in November, and I love it. I love taking care of my patients during the day. You know, it feels like a true calling. You know, I'm passionate. I work hard, but I love what I do.
You know what I love about your story? I just absolutely love, because I can resonate it with it so much, is that driving force that you had and still continue to have, because that's exactly like me. Once I knew and I could see what I wanted in life, there is nothing that's going to stop me from accomplishing whatever it is now. Like, because it is so crystal clear. And that's the same thing that's happened with you. And that's just so beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I see that same drive in my boys. My oldest son is a recording artist, you know, and he spends many, many hours up by himself at night, like teaching himself guitar, working on melodies, working on lyrics, you know. And again, my youngest, you and I talked about that, you know, he's my right here, right now son. You know, he's the boy that, you know, if something comes in the mail, he's opening it, he's assembling it right now. He's not even waiting an hour, you know. So I see that in my boys. And I think I told you that, you know, my wife is from Lithuania. And when she came to the United States, she could not even speak English and she had to start school the next day. You know, so just that drive of being up all night, learning the language, you know, just pushing forward when really a lot of people would have just caved, you know, and so I think my message to your audience is we all have it within us. Now, granted, life opens windows at certain times and closes certain windows. You know, having two boys that are older now, I don't think I could do what I did, right? I mean, that was that window of opportunity at that time. And that window is closed, you know, into something else now. But if you have a support system around you, and even if you only have one person that believes in you, and you have that drive, I mean, we live in a place, we live in a time when we can accomplish anything we want. I mean, you know, but you have to really, you have to visualize it. I think you meant visualization. Yeah. You talk, my wife talks about this as well, because she also studies this. And you have to see that image. Like she tells my older son, who's a recording artist, envision yourself as that successful recording artist.
Yes.
Live it, dress it, everything you do about it. And then once you're in that mindset, look back in your mind and say, how did I get to this point? Instead of being on the other end and saying, how do I do this? How do I do this? You know, so the mind is, I tell my patients, the mind is an incredible tool. It is an incredible tool. We could either do something positive or not utilize it. But, you know, we all have that ability. Every one of your listeners has that ability. Absolutely. There's nothing special about me. You know, it's just that I decided that this is what I wanted to do. And I did it. I did it. Now, I was pretty dedicated. You know, I've done some things in my life. I did an Ironman triathlon and several marathons. So my sister-in-law told me one time that she believes that doing all of those things and the mental and physical training for that helped me out in medical school. Because, you know, when you get up in the morning, you study, you go to lecture all day, you study all evening, you go to bed, you wind it up, you do it again. It's like running a marathon. You have to be able to do that day after day after day after day.
And what I liked when we when we talked before I pressed record here is, you know, the power and conviction that you were just saying, like, you just got to do it. You just got to do it if you feel it within you, and don't rely on other people. Because I know with my journey, you know, like just looking at people's comments or whatever. And because I've gone further than most people would have ever thought I've gone. And that was because I truly believed in myself. And if I would have listened to like the comments along the way, I would have never gotten to where I am. So that's where having that real faith and belief within myself and just doing it, just like you did it, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful all on its own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And think about how many people you're helping now with your own story, right?
As well.
I mean, people, you know, you and I talked about the hamster, you know, the hamster wheel, you know, and if we never, time is an illusion, you know, if we think, well, I'll do that. I'll think about doing that, or I'm going to do that. You got to start today. You know, like I'll tell my patients, you know, just start moving today. Even if it's 5 minutes, go in your yard, walk on your sidewalk in your neighborhood, but do it today. Don't do it tomorrow. You know, don't start tomorrow, start today. Because if you start today, then you got one day behind you come tomorrow and you move forward. And that's the other thing too, is it's important to have a goal in mind and envision yourself there. But during the journey to also sometimes take it day by day. Because in medical school, if I had thought, you know, when I went back to those science classes in the evening, and I knew I had 12 or 13 years ahead of me. If I had thought about that, I would have never did it. I would have never did it. But I went one day at a time. I'll get up tomorrow. I'll get through this. I'll get through tomorrow. I'll get through this exam tomorrow. I'll get through the week. We'll do this. Then we'll do it again. You know, it's kind of like when you're running a marathon, right? You can't think about mile 24, 25, or 26. You're at one. So you think, I'm going to get through one. I'm going to get through three, then five, you know, and your mind is a big tool in that, you know, just taking it day by day, but not stopping, keeping going, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's ups and downs. Any journey to getting anywhere, there's ups and downs. And that's how life treats us on a daily basis. But to have that drive and that focus, you know, and again, I'm a spiritual person. I believe nothing happens on my own, right? But mm-hmm. We're all given gifts. We're all given talents, and we need to use those talents in life. And we can. We can.
Mm-hmm. You know, just by our conversation now, you have mentioned so many things that you've learned throughout your whole journey up to this point in time. Is there anything that really sticks out for you that you learned the most from this whole process?
I learned that you really can't accomplish anything. Because in the beginning, it looks so daunting. And it's like this monster that's outside the room there. But when you get to the other side, you look back and you say, that wasn't so bad. You know, that wasn't so bad. So I guess I've learned that I can do anything. I can do anything. If I really set my mind to it, I can do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell my son, you know, the recording started, artist, I said, think big. I said, think big, you know, let's see if you can open for the Rolling Stones when they tour the United States. You know, I mean, these guys are out there doing it. They're 80, 79 years old. Again, living examples of doing it. Right.
Yeah. And enjoying the process the whole time too.
Totally. Exactly. And that's important too, because you have to enjoy the ride. You know, and someone told me that when I was starting medical school, they said, you are going to be on the stage graduating before you know it. And it's true. It happened very fast. They said, enjoy that ride. Enjoy that ride. You know, enjoy that moment. Live in that moment. And I'm really big on mindfulness. I really am. I mean, you have to, if you don't live in that moment, that feeds into that hamster wheel mentality, because you're just going for a ride. You're like a cork that's floating on top of the water, right? You're just going for the ride. You've got to take that moment and have gratitude. That's something my wife talks a lot about, you know, gratitude, you know, and you can't have gratitude with a worried mind. You have to have true gratitude and be really thankful for what you have, you know, because we all have a limited amount of time on this earth, and we have to really just live in that moment, you know, enjoy those people around us. you know. And
like ever since I started to, you know, change my whole entire life, when I first began and I started with the gratitude journal and all that, right, to start to train me for the thinking towards that, that was really hard for me. But now, like I do, I look around on a daily basis and I'm like, oh, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that or whatever. And I actually get very emotional when I even think of anything, you know, that I'm so grateful for, because that's what's going to bring more and more and more of that into you. And just even having that silence, sitting back and even thinking of that one little thing that you can be grateful for, because there's so many of us out there that will go days and weeks on end and don't even think of gratitude. And that's, you got to shift that way of thinking. Gratitude is the one thing that you should be focusing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Because it's easy to take things for granted. You know, health is one thing. Like, you know, we never think about how many times, how many steps a day we take on our foot. But then when your foot is hurting, suddenly you think, wow, you know, I really took my yeah. healthy feet for granted. You know, it's interesting. It's human, I think, to a certain extent. It is.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you want others to know the most from what you've discussed today? Because you have so many wonderful things that you're sharing with us, but is there something that's really standing out for you?
Yeah, I would like your listeners to know that special. Every person is special. And you are as special as you are unique, and you are special. You know, I tell my boys, I said, you know, you treat everyone with respect because everyone is deserving of respect. Everyone is valuable. There, you know, you treat the CEO of a company the same way you treat a person who cleans the offices at night, because those people, they all have beauty, they all have value, and they all have potential, all of them. So I guess everyone has an ability mm-hmm. to better themselves. You know, no one, you know, look at such inspirational stories of people who have come from nothing and have risen to such success in their lives. You know, I mean, we all have that ability. And I would tell your listeners, you know, don't give up on yourself. Believe in yourself. You've got to have that belief in your mind first, though, because if you don't believe it in your mind, you're going to listen to everybody else and you're not going to do it. You have to believe that you can do it. And once you get that in your mind, I think you're unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%. Such excellent advice. Now that we're getting to the closing, is there any final words that you want to say to the audience?
Love yourself, believe in yourself, associate yourself with positive people. Don't let your own self-worth be determined by what other people say about you or think about you. Mm-hmm. Have your own self, because you are quite worthy and quite capable, each and every one of you. Trust me.
Absolutely. Oh, this was absolutely wonderful. I want to thank you so much for being a part of my journey, listening to your words of wisdom, hearing your amazing journey. That's just absolutely wonderful. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You're most welcome, and thank you again.
I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.